Hello, friends, and Merry Christmas to everyone, and Happy New Year around the world. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW here on 1150 AM in Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and much happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the 3.1 Seattle and Puget Sound area, and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 100,000 listeners in over 60 countries. Today's shows will be really special because during the first hour from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., I'll be interviewing a fascinating gentleman named Joseph Anthony. He's a psychic astrologer with over 20 years experience who will be giving predictions for the coming new year. He'll be coming to us live from where he lives in Sedona, Arizona, which is another beautiful place. During the second hour, we've got a really interesting show. During the first 15 minutes from 3 to 3:15 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing a wonderful gentleman named James McMath, the president of Pristina Water Company in New Mexico. And we'll be playing and talking about a really beautiful YouTube video called We Are One. And he's actually, James sent it to me, and I thought it'd be really good, since it's Christmas this weekend, to talk about how we're all one on this planet. And once we realize this, I know we'll be able to live in harmony and create a beautiful, peaceful planet. Then, from 3:15 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, I'll be interviewing a gentleman named Seiichiro Yoshinochi. Who's also called Dr. Yoshi, who's I consider the world's most famous haro or vibrational healer, with the wonderful Michiko Hayashi, the global ambassador of the Emoto Peace Project, who will come to us live from Tokyo. If for more information about their work, see www.emotopeaceproject.me. Both Dr. Yoshi and Michiko will be coming to my Galactic Wisdom Conference in Olympia, Washington, on March 10, 11, and 12 to give presentations. And actually, Dr. Yoshi will also be demonstrating the machines and selling them on March 14th and 15th. For more information, please see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. We'll be adding more information about speakers this weekend. It needs to be revised, but it should be done this weekend. And the machines work were originally made with the help of Dr. Moto, who thought that diseases are actually caused by disease or the wrong haro or vibration. And before he passed away in 2014, Dr. Moto successfully helped 10,000 people with these machines. So it's one thing. I hope you'll enjoy the next hour interview. I really appreciate everyone's support for the radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. As a Christmas present to all my listeners around the world, I'll be giving free brief readings to everyone who calls between 10 a.m. and 12 noon Pacific Standard Time on Christmas Day, December 25th. Just call in to my cell number at area code 509-750-9793 here in the United States, and I'll be happy to give you a brief Christmas reading. If you can't call in, just send me an email. My email address is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Also, in the future, for everyone who donates at least $25 to the program today to help support the show, I'll be happy to give them also a brief reading. Just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I have a new spiritual mentoring program as well, where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you're interested, please email or call me. I want to thank everyone so much for their donations and support, especially Faison and Shirley in Florida, Caroline in England, Angela in Beverly in Texas, Anita in Dublin, Ireland, Eli in Texas, Marku in Helsinki, Finland, Judith in California, Emma Louise and Jan Eric in Norway, Marie and Alan in Camino Island, Robert, Julia, and Louise in Bellevue, Jessica and Randy in Mercer Island, Derry in Olympia, Washington, Corey in Kent, Robert in Bellevue, and Tom Frazen, Sig Sigby in Norway, David Lowe in Singapore, Juan McGregor and Raj Shastri in Toronto, Canada, and everyone around the world who supported the program and helped me raise consciousness to make the planet a better place. With that, I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including Crystal at the Crystal Voyage Bookstore in Tacoma and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. And I know with everyone's help, we can and make this planet a much better and happier place. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, has been assigning my website, providing wonderful support. My friends Michiko Hayashi, as well as Hiro Emoto, Mrs. Emoto, of the Emoto Peace Project and Emoto Office in Tokyo, my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show and giving me help, and my angelic and earthly family, as well as my wonderful producer, Eric, and my station manager, Eric Crema, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I want to tell everyone Out of This World Television is now broadcasting 3 times a week on Comcast Channel 22 here in Puget Sound, in the Puget Sound area of Seattle, on Tuesdays at 6, Wednesdays 1:30 p.m., and Saturdays at 7 p.m. And these programs are also available on YouTube under either TED or Theater Mar. We also have a listing of these shows as well on my website, which should be there this weekend at www.outofthisworld1150.com. I want to thank everyone so much who came to my Galactic Wisdom Conference earlier this year. It was an incredible experience and a big success, and we'll be having another conference on March 10, 11, and 12 in 2017. And as I mentioned, following the conference on March 14th and 15th, I'll be bringing in a gentleman named Dr. Yoshi, who will be demonstrating and selling Hado machines and giving Hado some treatments. If you register for the conference before the end of this month, you'll receive $25 off the regular admission price of $197. And for more information, please go to our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Among the speakers who will be there will Michiko Hayashi, the Emoto Peace Project, Dr. Yoshi, of course, of the famous Hado healer. Scott Lemriel of the Galactic Alliance will be there, as well as Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington, who is a famous water professor. In addition, Jim Mars, a famous journalist, will be there from Texas. I've also invited former Canadian Defense Minister Paul Hillier to come. And I hope you can all come. It's going to be something that you won't want to miss. Also, too, next month on January 21st, I'm sponsoring a free event at the Washington RV Event Center at 9101 Stillicum Road in Olympia, called the Cosmic Awareness Fair. Starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday, January 21st, and goes through the end of the day. There will be over 20 or 25 different vendors, including psychics, astrologers, crystal sellers, tarot, and aura photography readers. I'll also be giving lecture on Dr. Masaru Emoto's Messages from Water and the Emoto Peace Project at 1 p.m. Admission is free, and for more information, please go to chakracoach.me, that's chakracoach.me, / Cosmic Awareness Fair, and there's more information there. For those of you in Europe, I'll be visiting Dominor, the eco-spiritual community outside of Turin, Italy, and 2017 is their guest. It's an incredibly interesting place, and I'll actually be broadcasting live on Friday, January 13th from Dominor. Every month they have what they call oracles to determine decisions for the community, and I'll be participating in that oracle as a psychic on January 12th. It should be a really incredible broadcast, and I hope you can all listen to that. There's also many other events coming up, and for the most up-to-date information, there's a new tab on my radio website at Out of This World 1150. You can find information there. With that, I'd like to bring my first guest, the wonderful and incredibly talented Joseph Anthony, a psychic astrologer from Sedona, Arizona. And Joseph, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, and thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you. Happy holidays to you, too. And I appreciate you having me on.
Hey, my pleasure. My pleasure, Joseph. Of all the things to do in life, I guess people could ask me this the same thing. How did you ever become an astrologer?
Well, to be honest with you, I didn't plan it. I did not set out to become a counselor, an advisor, or an astrologer. As a matter of fact, early on in my life, I was more of the left-brain scientific-minded individual studying all kinds of science and psychology and so on. And I thought that astrology was basically just something people, you know, wrote in newspapers to entertain others. And later on in life, when I realized what it actually is, it really was like that proverbial light that went on. And it said, oh, my God, this is amazing. I understand what the purpose of astrology really is. And it really is to understand cycles. Our entire concept of time is based on the movement of the sun and the earth around around the sun and all the planets. They're a symbolic way of looking at the cycles, and that's what astrology should be used for. And it's an amazing tool. It's an absolute amazing tool. So I love it.
And it's very accurate, isn't it?
Oh, yes, it absolutely can be. Mm-hmm. We're constantly moving around the elliptical, and the sun, and we could absolutely see this when the seasonal changes happen and when the planets go retrograde and when we switch signs. I mean, as an astrologer, and many astrologers know this, they're amazed when things happen on that exact date because we know what the movement's going to be. You know, so that's where the predicting side comes in. But I realized a long time ago that you can't live your life in the future. In other words, thinking about what's going to happen then and how these alignments are going to occur and so on and so forth, you have to kind of live in the present and enjoy the moments as they unfold, you know, with one eye on the future. So that's the way I view astrology, and it's an amazing tool. Like I said, I just really enjoy it.
Well, you know, what really hit home to me, it was last week, and I posted a picture on Facebook for my guest, Tony Rodriguez, who was in the Secret Space Program, Joe, for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And the picture that I posted for him was this beautiful picture of our solar system. And I saw it the other day when I was preparing for my show today, Joe, and you look at all those planets out there, and what's incredible about astrology is that these planets and heavenly bodies beyond planet Earth really do have an effect on human behavior, don't they?
Yes. Well, if you understand, and I'm sure your audience does, understand the concept of whatever the source is, the creator, the prime creator, God, Yahweh, whatever name you want to give it, it's an energy field. It's an energy. It's a source of energy, or the ultimate source of energy, that radiates throughout our bodies. It's in every cell. It's in everything mm-hmm. that is alive,
right.
And it's vibrating. And so when you understand mm-hmm. the language of this source, it is through dreams, it's through cycles, it's mathematical equations, much like numerology, which I also really enjoy.
Sure.
It's a symbolic language. And so the source and ourselves, our own consciousness, is constantly communicating back and forth. And so the more you understand this language, and the more you get to realize that we are one with the entire universe. Mm. A matter of fact, everything in our body resembles the universe. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like one giant fractal repeating itself over and over again mm-hmm. at the subatomic level and at a larger level. Mm-hmm. So, you know, as above, so below, that the old term, it's all there. It's like this force field, this energy, this creator is basically expressing itself through many different ways. And we're all connected to it.
I have to tell you, there was a famous English philosopher and politician named Lord Acton in England in the 19th century. He said that those who failed to recognize the lessons of history are doomed to repeat their mistakes. The valuable thing about astrology is that it's very accurate. But a little bit about you were kind enough to send me a sheet on the meaning of astrology as well as my own chart. And I have to ask you some very basic questions. Everyone who has whenever they were born, they have a particular sign. Is that right? A sign that they have for their birth date?
Yeah, it's like a timeline.
Okay.
When the moment you're born at a specific place at a specific time, it's a snapshot in time of this consciousness or timeline.
Interesting.
And it influences your foundation. It's kind of like building a house, you know. You go to an architect, and he builds the house, and then he starts with the foundation. You know, this is the kind of foundation we're going to have, and then they build it up.
Interesting.
So it's the same concept, the same thinking in astrology. That foundation is there. But because you have free will, you know, mm-hmm. it's not set in stone, you're going to follow a certain timeline, and then you have choices to make or experiences that you must go through.
Okay.
And so the obstacles come up. The good times come up, everything comes up, and then you have choices, whether to flow with it mm-hmm. Or to go against it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way it should be used, you know, but obviously everyone has a different take on it. But yes, it's such a powerful tool, and it doesn't just have to be astrology. I mean, numerology is amazingly accurate as well, and if one reads cards or tea leaves or hands, you know, whatever it is,
it's
a tool that resonates with them. It just happens that you know, astrology, human behavior, numerology, science, all of that stuff is fascinating to me. But mm-hmm. then I put it all together, like many people in this field, have begun to discover that it's all energy and that we're all part of it, and that this is just an understanding of the cycles and the tools needed to comprehend what is actually happening.
Fascinating, Joe. I know from my own sign, I was born in November, and that makes me a Scorpio. And under these signs, you say Scorpios are intense. Also, the sign itself is obsessed, sexual, powerful, passionate, possessive, and angry. So
Well, again, it's very general because there's other influences involved in an astrological birth chart. You have the birth chart and the sun sign. Now, first, let me clear something up. In Western astrology, we use Placidus or tropical, and we base our readings on the movement of the equinoxes. You know, every year we basically look at the world from each equinox, and we base it on that. Now, in the Indian astrology, the Vedic astrology, they actually use the constellations. And so if we were to do that, we would actually change signs. Many people would have different signs. And the reason we do that is it really doesn't matter which system you use as long as you have an idea of what is actually happening. In other words, if you're going to use the equinoxes and you're going to use our system here in the West, it's still going to be accurate. The timing may be off a little bit, but it'll still be accurate. In the Vedic, they use the constellations because they realize that everything is moving. And so if we were to actually take a telescope and point to the sign of Scorpio at a specific time of the year, it may not be in Scorpio. It may be in Sagittarius, you see? So but because we base our movement on our on the planet and the equinoxes, you know, we still have accuracy. So, but everything is very general because you also have a moon sign where the moon was. You have other planets involved, and then we have to see where they were in the constellations according to your birth chart. And, of course, then there's aspects. You know, how is the sun being aspected? Is it in a strong position? Is it a weak position? Is the moon in a very strong position, or is it in a weak position? Is your rising sign, which is the constellation coming up on the east, every 2 hours it changes? And so is that a strong sign as well, you know, or is it, how's it affecting the sun? So it's hard to, you know, we astrologers have to generalize with each sign because we don't have the actual birth chart of an individual in front of us. So when I write the horoscopes and I do the videos each month, you know, I have to be very general, but it's still going to be amazingly accurate. You know, the things that are coming up for that individual are still going to be according to their sun sign, you know.
Interesting, so. Interesting. Now, you were very kind enough to send me my birth chart, and I'm looking at it here. It's a circular thing with a bunch of different numbers on it and astrological signs and symbols. And to be honest, I have no idea what it what it means.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do.
It's actually pretty easy. I mean, because the first time I actually saw an astrology chart years ago, I thought it was Chinese hieroglyphics.
Right. Right.
So, because it looks confusing, but these are all scientific terms. I have professional astrology programs, and these are all scientific terms that are used by NASA and all of the physicists and so on. And the wheel, which looks like a pizza pie, is actually the constellations in the heavens. That's all they mean. And so, yeah, and so it's like we're looking at the heavens in a simpler, you know, in a simple way. And so when we look at the planets, we see what sign they were actually in. So it's, again, symbolism. And I believe the birth chart that I gave you has all the symbols on the right-hand side, which explain what the terminology is.
Correct.
And so, you know, you have to understand what each house means or constellation. We call them houses in astrology. And so if you understand what each one of the houses mean, and then you understand what the dynamics of the planet represent and the sign that it's in, you kind of start painting a picture of what that individual is like in that area of their life. Make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense now. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. One of the things you sent me, Joe, was that the nodes of the moon represent karma from the past and issues involving the soul's evolution. The north node represents what we are striving for in this lifetime and how to overcome challenges and obstacles. And the south node represents what we bring into this lifetime from the past. That's fascinating. How is that applied in your own practice, for example?
Well, it's very important because these are not actually constellations or stars or anything. They're, you know, years ago, someone, I forgot the name of the individual who created these nodes, he realized that every time the moon crosses over the ecliptic, there seems to be a shadow on the moon, and it's also pointing to a certain direction. So the north node, which looks like a little horseshoe, you know, is symbolic of what you're striving for in this lifetime. And so depending on what sign it is, it's very helpful. So every couple of years, it switches signs.
Oh.
And so what we have here is in a birth chart, we have indicators that indicate where you're heading or what you should be focusing on. So the midhaven, which is the highest point in the chart, is one, and the north node is the other.
Oh.
And so the south node is what we come into this lifetime with. See, the moon represents the past. In symbolic terms, it represents the fluidity of life and so on. And so it's natural that we use these symbols to figure out where we're going. So if you're born, let's say, with the moon, the north node in Capricorn, like you are, you're striving for a sense of purpose and service to humanity in some way, to be seen in the public, to be in government, to be in a large entity or corporation. But mostly it's about the public. So a north node in Capricorn would be working with the public. So what is it that you do? You talk on the radio, you talk to the public, and I'm sure you've had other jobs that are associated with that.
That's true.
You see?
Yeah, and I also have a television show now, too, so that all makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly.
The more
you go in that direction, the more you find satisfaction, the more you feel fulfilled. And so it's not always an easy thing to do.
No.
You see, because, it's not just, this is where that sign is, go over there and do it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you're going to be met with resistance and obstacles and so on and so forth because we must learn along the path.
Right.
And so as the south node brings in the past, so the south node would have been in Cancer, which is all about emotions and feelings and family life.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would say, just generally speaking from a past life perspective, you were either at home individual, or you spent a lot of time at home. You could have been a builder. You could have been somebody who worked with their hands, such as building homes, construction, or you work with your family or very close to family, the family dynamics, and so on and so forth. Everything that Cancer represents, you see.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I've been told I used to be a Tibetan monk at some point in one of my previous lives, and that fits too because I definitely stayed at home. Didn't do any traveling back then. Not much.
Right. Exactly.
Not much. Well, I wanted to ask you, Joe, this is such incredible information. I thank you so much for sharing all this. What do you see for the coming year? What kinds of things astrologically do you see for this country and the world in general?
Okay. Well, the last few years, as you know, we've been challenged, and the energy has not felt very comfortable.
Right.
It has a lot to do with astrology, but it also has to do with the cosmic center and the energy coming from the cosmic center.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about this in one of my videos on my website, under Press Media, one of the tabs there. I have a video called World Events, What is Happening to Our World, and if anyone wants to watch it, it's totally free. And I talk about this galactic energy. But the astrology has also been indicating tremendous change since 2008 when Pluto, which represents transformation, destruction, regeneration, went into Capricorn, a sign of government, agencies, corporations, entities, religions, any large governing body. We began to see the changes in society, as, of course, we saw Wall Street being bailed out by the government, and we saw the corruption and all this other stuff from behind the scenes.
Right.
So fast forward, we're seeing a systematic change to society on every level, beginning with ourselves. In other words, we're beginning to see where the lies are. We're beginning to see where we give our power away. We begin to see that the institutions and corporations and so on are transforming because they have to. It's like there's a giant spotlight being shined on these areas.
Right.
And so we are going down the road, or we have been up until 2016, where the transformation has been uncomfortable because we are not sure what's happening, A. B, it's happening at a rapid rate because of technology, internet, phones, and all of this stuff. The information is coming out very quickly, and we're not able to basically take it all in.
Right.
And so what we've got is a systematic transformation at the deepest levels. Psychological as well as physical.
Mm-hmm.
And on every level is going to be transformed by 2024, 2025. And this is when Pluto leaves Capricorn. And so what we've got going on this year in 2017 is almost a new, fresh start. Because every 9 years in numerology, you know, we have a new cycle that enters. And in 2017, we have a 1 year. If you reduce all the numbers down, they become a one.
Okay.
And so we have a new cycle beginning.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. And so what is associated with the number one? We have newness, invention, creativity, moving forward, being more aggressive, being more creative. Mm-hmm. The astrology is absolutely indicating a lot of creativity this year, Ted.
Beautiful.
Okay?
Beautiful.
And so we are completing a 9-year cycle from 2008 to 2017, and we're starting a new one. And so what I see happening this year astrologically is the eclipses each year signify the significant changes that are going to take place. And this year we have four, and there's two in Leo, one in Pisces, and one in Aquarian. So I'll just quickly run those down for you. In February, we have the two eclipses. The first one's going to be a lunar eclipse in Leo, which represents creativity, romance. It represents newness. It represents invention, innovation of some kind. And it's very well aspected, in other words, being connected to the planet. And so we're going to come to some sort of realization that we are loving consciousness, that we have to start thinking more with our hearts, because Leo rules the heart. And we're going to have to start moving and going in a new direction. So the second one on February 26th is in Pisces. Mm-hmm. Pisces is a very spiritual sign. And it, too, is very favorably aligned. So we've got February, this sort of energy setting the tone for the next 6 months to a year, because that's how long eclipses take.
Oh, interesting. And so, okay.
And so we're basically setting the tone for the year where it should be a happier feeling year. You know, in other words, we're pursuing more of our creativity. We're pursuing love in a greater way.
Uh-huh.
Or we feel connected to the ones we feel connected to.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going in that direction, even though the uncertainty is there about where we're going as a whole of society.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what leads us into August, another turning point year, where the two eclipses there, one on the 7th, is going to be in Aquarius, and that's a lunar eclipse. Now, this one is very interesting because I think at some point here, that lunar eclipse is going to bring awareness to society or the culture as a whole. In other words, we are going to begin to see ourselves as one, or we need to start seeing ourselves as one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think whatever happens event-wise or announcements that are made at that time, it should bring the world closer together or a deeper understanding of ourselves. And
beautiful.
I don't think it's going to come from any politician. I don't think it's going to come from anyone in Hollywood or anything like that. I think it's going to be a collective where an event takes place that is heartwarming, you know, kind of like that plane that went down in the Hudson. Remember that airline that went down in the Hudson?
Oh, yeah.
With the pilot land? It's that type of event that I see happening.
Well.
Not exactly the same one, but it could be, where the world rallies around an event or a situation that happens that, you know, people are just so grateful for, you know, that it worked out. And, of course, the last one is on August the 21st. It's also a solar eclipse in the sign of Leo, which is very powerful. This one is a very powerful eclipse, which is basically saying, open up your heart and realize that you are pure loving consciousness and start realizing and living your life that way. You see?
Beautiful.
And so it's very powerful energy this year for creating.
Beautiful.
Let's put it that way.
Beautiful. And I did the numbers, too. And just to make it clear, it's for my listeners, for 2017, what you do to reach a 1 year, you add 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 7 equals 10, which means a 1, which means what you were talking about, a new fresh start. And and if you take the year 2016, you add 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 6, that equals 9, a year of completion. Is that right? A 9?
Exactly.
Okay.
Completion, lessons to be learned, understanding of the first 9 years. It's about teaching. It's about learning. So now we're starting a new cycle.
Uh-huh.
And so this year will feel a little bit better than last year. Let's put it that way.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I know the messages that I've been getting, Joe, all year long has been this year and next year will be pivotal years in humanity's future. And the things that we do this year and next will determine the future of humanity for many, many years to come. So we have to make the right choices, and that's why I'm so happy to have you on today. And actually, next hour, I'll be bringing on a gentleman during the first of the program named James McMath. He sent me a beautiful YouTube video called We Are One and How We Are All One with the Planet and with Each Other. So this is very timely. He'll be talking about the same thing that you're talking about now.
Wonderful. Fantastic.
Yeah. I know you sent me a very interesting chart details of like a professional year forecaster with specific dates with the different planets. Have you done that does that work well as well for like doing one for a country or a state or a city?
Absolutely.
Okay.
The United States has a birth chart as well. You know, we astrologers know it's July 4th, 1776, mm-hmm. when the Declaration of Independence was signed. Mm-hmm. And so we base that as well. Anything that has a beginning has a birth chart, because it's a snapshot in time. As a matter of fact, sure. when I registered my business years mm-hmm. ago, mm-hmm. I made sure I went down to the courthouse and, you know, where the paperwork needed to be signed and right. so on at a specific time and date to make sure, you know, to maximize the benefits of the energy at that time, you see.
Good. That's so, great. That's
it
great.
Works on everything. I mean, I have had clients with business where they wanted to start a business, and I've actually had clients with large numbers of employees and so on and so forth. So everything that has a start has an astrology chart, you know, from the moment it was created or registered with the courthouse and so on. So, again, it's just capturing the moment in time. Mm-hmm. But that's what it really is. And, you know, time is subjective. There really is no such thing as time. But we're able to look at things from that perspective and use the planets as symbols to kind of track the movement, to track the cycle. Mm-hmm. And that's and it works very accurately. And so the United States, when we track all of this movement,
right.
There has been going, as you could see, the transformation that the United States is going through, not just politically, but socially, economically, mm-hmm. You know, with the rights and the protests and all this other stuff. You see it. And then mm-hmm. this has all been predicted. I mm-hmm. predicted this in a video I did in 2009.
Really?
I did a presentation in front of an audience, and I predicted all of this stuff. Not just me. All the other astrologers knew this was
mm-hmm.
coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I predicted the radiation stuff that was going to take place.
Fukushima?
Well,
really?
Fukushima, we saw it all. You know, when I say we, I have to say collectively astrologers, mm-hmm. because that was the year Uranus, which represents radiation and explosions mm-hmm. and disasters, entered the sign of Aries. As a matter of fact, it was right on that day, March 11th, 2011, you know.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. So, it's a symbolic tool, and it's amazingly accurate at times, you know. And so, it's all there, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and so, but I always tell people to trust your intuition,
sure,
because that is much more powerful, because you have a direct connection, you know, to the source. You are the source. So the more you learn to trust your own intuition and then use these tools, the greater your intuition becomes.
Wow, amazing. I have to ask you, Joe, have you seen any events like that happening, or other events, let's say, I mean, 5 or 10 years out? Is that possible to go that distance, or is it better to...
Sure. But what I see coming, and this is strictly intuitive and psychic, because I'm,
right.
you know, very intuitive, and I do get dreams and visions and all of that stuff. And then, of course, I meditate, and I ask the universe to show me what I need to see.
Right.
And what I actually see coming... Mm-hmm. has very little to do with explosions and, you know, things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
What I was shown a few years ago was that the Earth was going to have some weather issues. And if you look around the world, what do we have now? We have unusual weather, earthquakes, and this is all being caused by these cosmic waves that are hitting the Earth.
Right.
As a matter of fact, there's a big one coming up on the 26th of December. I did a short video mm-hmm. on that a couple of days ago. I don't know if you got that one, Ted. But anyone on my newsletter list, you know, would have gotten it, and I posted it all over social media. And so,
I did. Yeah, I did see that. Come to think, yeah, I did see that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, You're welcome. And so there's a lot of great amateur astronomers that are able to pick up on this energy, because obviously we can't rely on NASA and some of these government agencies because they're not telling us the truth. But anyway, my point being is what I saw was weather issues were going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, colder than normal temperatures, more rain, you know, unusual weather patterns that were being, because they were changing the Earth's magnetic field. And now in the spiritual community, it could be a birthing. It could be, you know, they refer to it as a going to the fourth dimension and the fifth dimension, which makes total sense because we're all hearing this vibration in our ears, you know, the high-pitched squealing and whistling. You know, have you been hearing it, Ted?
I actually have ringing in my ears, and so I hear high-pitched. But I think it's added in addition to my tinnitus, too.
Yeah, it's not actually a ringing. It's a frequency. It's mm-hmm. a high-pitched frequency.
Uh-huh.
And so it's been happening more and more. I talk to other people around the world, and they said the same thing. It's mm-hmm. unlike anything they've heard.
Wow.
But my point being is the Earth is changing, physically changing, and we're also physically changing.
Right.
But what I did see was that somewhere around 2023, 2024, there's going to be an intervention, and it could be before then, by the galactic family members.
Wonderful.
You know what I if you know what I mean.
Yeah, they're listening okay. today actually.
Yes,
so.
They're all over. They
right.
look just like you and I. You know, many many don't, but I saw, and this came to me in a vision quite a few years ago, that this was going to happen, and I saw the time frame about 2023, 2024. So they were actually here. And they all, many of them are here in other dimensions or outside mm-hmm. the Earth's planet, in the mm-hmm. in the core of the Earth,
mm-hmm.
to help with this transition of this vibration and the Earth.
Wow.
And so they are actually either holding the frequency in place, they're shielding us from it, like Corey Good talks about,
right.
And David Wilcox.
Right.
And so what's happening is we as a collective have to start realizing we are one, and we could influence this change that's occurring, you
mm-hmm.
see? So we have to stop with the bickering and fighting and, you know, you're this, I'm that, I want this, you want that,
right.
and start collectively, basically just meditating and saying inner peace, you know, resonate outward
right.
and realize who we are so we could help the planet sort of birth into a different vibration at the same time helping ourselves. Making sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Actually, I wanted to tell you for my listeners, on January 7th, I'm having a man who on the show from 3 to 4 who actually does a lot of transcendental meditation. That's one, and he teaches TM. So we'll be talking about meditation during that show. But that's very beautiful. Thank you for telling me that.
Oh, thank you. Look, Ted, this year is definitely a year where we want to take advantage of opportunities that arise in our lives. And I'm not just talking about financial. I'm not talking just about relationships. I'm talking about on a deeper level within ourselves, especially towards the end of the year when Jupiter enters Scorpio.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so this is going to ask us to go within and really start discovering who we are, really feel the connection to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, throughout the year, we have these few months where the window of opportunity opens up and then we must take advantage of it. But no matter what we achieve in life or, you know, accumulate or don't have or whatever it is, we have to constantly remind ourselves that we are having just a physical experience in this third dimension.
Right.
And that we are spirits in a body having these physical experiences.
Right.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
And so... The greatest gift you could give to someone or receive is to help another, you know, in some way. And so you benefit yourself as well as the other individual. So, but this year there'll be plenty of opportunities to do that because of the cosmic alignments that are being revealed through the astrology. You know, it's about heartfelt
mm-hmm.
Giving. It's about heartfelt mm-hmm. Connections with others. And it's about, you know, doing something you love. That's what this year is really all about.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I had a gentleman from the Hollow Earth on my show a couple of times earlier this year. His name's Zora, or Billy Faye Woodard, but he channels his dad, and he said to always think with your heart mind, as between your biological brain between your two ears and your heart. He says your heart mind is far stronger, and also, too, you'll get far better and more accurate decisions if you always follow your heart mind instead of your logical brain.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, it's been proven that, you know, scientifically, that the heart seems to be resonating at a higher frequency. Mm-hmm. And the mind is basically a processor.
Right.
Okay? It's a very highly skilled and you know, great tool. Don't get me wrong.
Right, right.
But you have to work in unison. It has to work in unison. And so when one has a mind that's always running and going, you have to figure out a way to slow it down. And this is what meditation does. Unfortunately, many people turn to, drugs, alcohol, or you know, whatever it is.
Right.
Because it's an easier way to just quiet the mind.
Right.
But one of the most powerful tools to quiet the mind is nature.
Hmm.
I don't care how intelligent you are, you cannot walk through a forest and not feel something and feel connected to it, you know, and bring you some sort of inner peace. Because you're really connecting with the energy that's all around you, in those trees and those plants and those bushes. You know, your senses are on high alert, and so your mind becomes more in tune, but your heart also opens up even more, you know. And so I had that experience myself years ago when I started going camping.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just an amazing feeling. It's really just, you know, I tell clients these days, just mm-hmm. get to understanding who you are.
Right.
And the other stuff is just, it's secondary in nature. Realize you're a spirit being having a human experience and meditate on it. This right. is something that I realized years ago, and I started doing, and I realized after doing it a while, my mind wasn't as active in the sense that I'm not going to overanalyze something, but I would feel more. In
sure.
other words, I've felt the connection to everything. I felt the connection to the source. I sensed more. It was like I opened up even more because the frequency, the mindset was on that level only. And then, of course, I moved to Sedona almost 5 years ago. That even right. helped enhance it even more.
Oh, beautiful, so. Beautiful. I've heard, I want to share this with you too, that for people living in like off the ground, let's say in a high-rise apartment complex, who are listening today, it's very important, especially if you can get out and do what's called earthing. I know it's wintertime in North America now and in Europe, but and in Russia, but if you can, take your shoes off and walk in a city park. There may be snow outside. You don't want to freeze your feet at all, but it's very important to get connected with the planet, because I've heard that, I wanted to run this by you too, Joe, for people that live in high-rise apartment buildings all the time, who it's easy for them to get disconnected. Is it a problem for them sometimes to feel disconnected because they're not close to the planet?
Sure,
okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Not to mention all the electricity and all the other people around them.
Sure.
You know, you're not getting sort of a direct connection to the source. Yes, and so, you know, one of the things that I realized is that there's constant interference, especially with cell phones, Earth's magnetic field,
sure.
Electricity going through the walls. I mean, this is all, it sounds crazy until you investigate it, that this seems to interrupt the natural flow of us and the source.
Right.
And so the more you get to the Earth, absolutely. I mean, mm-hmm. I go for a walk almost every day up here in Sedona
mm-hmm.
because
beautiful.
It's just so, I just feel that connection. You know, and of course, when you look at these big red mountains here, you really realize what's important and, you know, the source that created them and, you know, and how you're connected to all of it. So,
sure.
yes, I would totally encourage folks that live in high-rise buildings to go to that park,
mm-hmm.
shut everything else out,
right?
Not to think about your job or making money or relationships, whatever it is, and just be at peace.
Right.
Be at inner peace with yourself
right.
and the source.
Right. What beautiful advice, Joe. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I want to I wanted to thank you so much for coming on today. And also, too, are there any particular areas you'd like to focus in on for the last part of the show?
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, I could give you more in depth about the astrology, and we could go from there. I don't
sure,
mind talking
fine.
More about the astrology,
that's
giving
fine.
People
that's
an
fine.
Idea.
Now,
you know,
there's also, isn't there also a Chinese astrology as well? There's different branches as well. And
absolutely.
How does that work in comparison to Western and Indian Vedic astrology?
Well, it's a little different in their culture. They actually use animals.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the word zodiac, the Greek meaning, means circle of animals.
Oh, wow.
And so whoever mm-hmm. created the, you know, created the system,
mm-hmm.
Understood that there, you know, that there the circle of animals somehow influences the behavior on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were to study each sign in depth, you would realize how similar they are to the planet they represent.
Uh-huh. Well.
And so the Chinese astrology is all animals. It's all mm-hmm. symbols. And they don't use it like we do.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the houses and so on and so forth. They do an overall year of what the energy is going to be like for that year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not an expert in the Chinese astrology, but I understand the basics of it, the fundamentals of it. And in this year, we're in a year of the rooster. And so, if you know anything about the rooster, it's it's about the rooster is about the ego. It's about moving forward. It's about dictating. It's about action.
Mm-hmm.
And so, what are we seeing? You know, what are we seeing this year? Coming up for it's all the same. It's we see motivation, we see creativity, we see newness, we see sometimes a bit of the ego that may come out this year.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the year of the rooster, so a lot of people are going to be vocalizing their opinion and their mm-hmm. ideas and their concepts.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's through video, whether it's through rants on their blogs and so on and so forth,
mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see a lot more of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the rooster, I'm just trying to see what else about the rooster, the year of the rooster,
mm-hmm.
is really about action. Once again, symbolically representative of action.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fire rooster, so we are going to be more aggressive than normal, you see? And so we may also, kind of bang our heads up against the wall from time to time when some of the planets go retrograde this year.
Isn't Mercury retrograde right now running through January 7th? Because I've been wondering why sometimes I have miscommunications with clients, with people I'm trying to call. We keep mm-hmm. missing each other. Is that all part of it there when a planet goes retrograde? Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Mercury, because it's the planet that's the quickest around the sun, and
mm-hmm.
it affects electronics,
mm-hmm.
and it happens usually three times a year. And yes, we're recording this and on the air, Mercury is retrograde, and it started on December the 19th, and will go all the way till January the 8th. And retrograde just means going back, or slowing down, and it does seem to have an effect on the Earth's magnetic field. But there is also another alignment going on, which I talked about in that video I put out a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
Is the opposition between Uranus, which is about innovation, but Uranus also rules electricity,
mm-hmm.
and it's opposing Jupiter, which is about expansion and doing things on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just don't have the Mercury retrograde. We have this Uranus opposing Jupiter, which is sort of amplifying the energy. Now, I don't know about you, Ted, but the last few days, the energy has been so heavy here in Sedona, and it could be just because it's Sedona, but
mm-hmm.
the feeling of being tired has been very strong in the last 3 or 4 days, and I think it has a lot to do with the frequency changes, the astrology, the waves coming in, and it's making a lot of people more tired or sleepy in some way. And I know it's not just me because, I've talked to other people about this in different states, and they say the same thing. I don't know what's wrong. You know, many people right away, they think there's something wrong with them. Yeah, they got this going on and that, and then you go to a doctor, and the doctor finds nothing.
Right, right. Or they prescribe antidepressants, which is a disaster,
exactly.
A big mistake. Well, I know back in September, between the 5th and the 15th of September, and then again on September 22nd and 23rd, there was a huge wave that came from the central sun of the galaxy that hit the Earth, and it
mm-hmm.
changed the negativity of the planet from negativity into positivity for the first
mm-hmm.
time, and I've told 26,000 years. I had Alfred Weber on my show,
mm-hmm.
I think back in early November, and he said actually it was the three Mayan cycles. It was like three times 26,000 years. So he was looking at, for the first time in 78,000 years, that the planet shifted from negative to positive. And I was told here, must have been last month, that we would be getting hit right on the 26th, and now through the 26th, which is today, or actually in a couple days, but it's close enough, through early January of this another tremendous energy hit. And when in September, when the planet was being hit with all these positive energy waves, I was really tired too. I was sleeping 12 to 14 hours a day, and then I also was taking naps in the afternoon. And I said to myself, and I asked my spirit guides, and they said, well, you asked for it. And that's true. I asked for spiritual involvement. So I ended up, but for those of you who are tired, it's more than just the time of the year here in North America, or if you're in Europe with the winter solstice and the lack of sunshine. You're getting hit with a tremendous amount of positive energy waves. This will pass, but I think it's supposed to be over by the time Mercury goes out of retrograde, the 7th or 8th of January, and just kind of like hang in there, because they're all shifting the planet. There's a resonance of the planet that has gone up, Joe, from something like 7 hertz to 13.8 hertz. So it's almost practically doubled in the last in the last couple of years. And this is part of the ascension process. I think that the planet Earth is headed for higher dimensions, and we're slated for ascension. So this is all part of it, and it's a good thing. I received a message from a lady in New Zealand last week, and I posted something on Facebook about this this energy wave coming in, and she said, "Oh no, am I going to lose my house? And is there going to be an earthquake in New Zealand?" And I wrote her back, and I said, "No, don't buy into fear. This is a good time." Because the energies are raising here on the planet, it can only result in positive things happening. Yeah,
absolutely.
So,
The one thing I did see when I talked about that timeline, 2023, 2024,
right?
I did see people either being more at peace with themselves or understanding things at a deeper level, which brought more inner security and safety. The biggest issue most people have is that they don't think on a larger scale. In other words, they just think very small, you know, security driven, and they're easily distracted by everything. And so losing my house, you know, implies that this individual values the safety and security of being at home. Maybe she's a Cancer. You know, Cancers are very much home bodies and, you know, value. So, but it's not about that. It's about the experience. As I tell everyone, no matter what happens in this life, you are having experiences.
Right, exactly.
How are you going to have a different experience if you're still staying in the same place for 50 years?
That's true.
So this year is really about taking charge of your life, you know, and how you want to contribute and what you want to share and what you want to see and what you want to do. But at the same time, the planet, the energy, all of it is saying, wake up inside and realize who you really are. And that's Neptune in Pisces saying that. Neptune is trying to awaken humanity to something much deeper. And so there's definitely a spiritual overtone to this time frame. And I think this is why most of the souls reincarnated at this time, because they saw an opportunity to make a difference and to experience something that they have not experienced before in this lifetime, because the last time it probably happened was 26,000 years ago, when we were on the opposite end of this energy from the photon belt.
Right.
So this is, you know, we have to start looking at this as a collective, you know. And so people are going to move to areas where they feel more comfortable and with like-minded souls. And relationships, especially this year with relationships, Jupiter is going to continue through Libra, is going to awaken relationships. It's going to end relationships because they're no longer in the right frequency or in the right, you know, in the right element with the right person. And so that's what's also going to happen. But there's greater awareness the first 8 months of 2017 because of Uranus. Uranus is awakened. He's actually going to awaken in a few days on the 29th. And this is the spirit of change that's in the air. And so for the first 8 months of 2017, we feel much more inspired to create and move forward and become more interested in experiences than this whole past 2016.
Wow, amazing. Joe, quickly, we got 10 seconds. What's your website?
Planetswithin.com.
Planetswithin.com. And I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Joe. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas and a very, very happy New Year. And please stay tuned, friends, for my next guest, James McNath, who will be on in just a few minutes. Thank you so much. Take care, Joe.